Dick Hayden for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the current issues, as well as some material that I have gotten online from Sports Illustrated Kids. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So let's get started right away. The first thing that we're going to look at is the end zone section from the January-February edition of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Different games have different sort of, I don't know what you call them, names for certain activities. So we've got three of them here. One is about squash. One is about playing soccer. And another one relates to football. So let's start with number one. That would be squash. Down to a T. That's the name. Down to a T. Liz and Penny are playing squash in the treehouse's subterranean courts. Liz serves and Penny returns, setting up a position at the T, the center of the court. As Liz races to return Penny's shot, she too runs toward the T. Though she tries to get out of the way, Penny trips on her shoelace and falls, tripping Liz, too, and costing her an opportunity to return the volley. Penny made a good faith effort to get out of the way, but could not. Does she get the point? So down to a T, does she get the point? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you the answer to that. Right here, as soon as I turn the page. What is the call? Penny does not get the point. Regardless of intent, she impeded Liz, and Liz is entitled to a let, L-E-T. The point is replayed. Next up is soccer, L-A-Kix, K-I-X, L-I-Kix. In a lacrosse game between the Long Island Lemurs and the Staten Island Squirrels, Long Island defender Irvy Hamilton has the ball near his team's goal. Squirrels attacker Andre Burris poke checks Hamilton, causing the ball. I'm sorry, this isn't soccer, this is lacrosse. Let me start it over because of that. In a lacrosse game between the Long Island Lemurs and the Staten Island Squirrels, Long Island defender Irvy Hamilton has the ball near his team's goal. Squirrels attacker Andre Burris poke checks Hamilton, causing the ball to fall out of the defender's stick and right in front of Lemur's goal crease. Burris instinctively kicks the loose ball toward the net. It gets past the Lemur's unsuspecting goalie. The Lemurs complain, does a ball kicked into the net count as a goal? Good question. Well, the answer is that the goal counts. Players can kick the ball into the net in lacrosse. So it's always a heads-up situation playing that game. And now some football. Stallion stretch is what we're talking about. The Santa Fe State Stallions are playing the Cooper College Colts under NCAA rules. Under third and long, Stallions quarterback Hud McManus takes a shot downfield to receiver Lamar Hill. McManus slightly overthrows his target, and Hill has to dive for the ball. While he makes the initial catch with two hands, as his legs hit the ground, he begins to lose control of the ball. As his upper body hits the turf, he drops the ball. Instant replay confirms that Hill began to lose control of the ball at the exact moment that his leg hits the ground. The Stallions argue that it should be ruled a catch because he had possession up until the moment of being down. You're the referee. What do you say? Is it a catch? Well, it turns out the pass is ruled incomplete. NCAA rules state that a receiver must maintain control as he hits the ground. So he doesn't get the point. Now we can take a look at the mystery athlete. I'm going to give you three clues, and you try to figure out who are we talking about? Who is our mystery athlete? Well, clue number one. The mystery athlete grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and attended high school there until his senior year, when he transferred to East High School in Memphis to play basketball for a former NBA star, Penny Hardaway. Clue number two, after his only season at East High School, the mystery athlete won the Gatorade National Player of the Year honors. And clue number three, the Golden State Warriors took the mystery athlete with the second pick in the 2020 NBA draft. Who is our mystery athlete? Who is our mystery athlete? Well, it turns out his name is James Wiseman. He's a center currently with the Golden State Warriors. And here's a little bit of trivia for you, a trivia challenge. Last November, Derrick Henry became just the fourth player in NFL history with three games and 175 yards and three rushing touchdowns in his first five seasons. Which of these players is not one of the three? So we want you to pick one who is not in the group. A, Adrian Peterson. B, LaDainian Tomlinson. And C, Emmett Smith. Which of those players is not one of the three who met that record? Well, it turns out it's number C, Emmett Smith. Emmett, a great player, just didn't happen to match up in that particular challenge. Well, with that, let's go to an article and find out what's going on. I like this article. It's an old one. I'm kind of bringing it back because I think it's so special. What it does, in my mind, is it shows you that you can do just about anything you put your mind to, okay? No matter what you have that might be holding you back, perhaps working a little harder on something will make it possible, make it something that can actually occur. Yankees signed a 10-year-old to a one-day contract. This came offline from SI Kids. We're in the thick of spring training when Major League Baseball teams try out lots of players hoping to crack Major League rosters. Now, this was written March 8th of 2016. Okay? So it says, but yesterday one ball player got an especially long look from the New York Yankees. The Yanks signed 10-year-old Landis Sims to a one-day minor league contract. He got a locker at the George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Florida. He took batting practice, and he worked out and got pointers from Alex Rodriguez. It was every kid's baseball dream come true. But Landis isn't your average little leaguer. He was born without hands and without lower legs. But that hasn't stopped him from hitting the field. I think he's overcome extraordinary obstacles to be the kid that he wants to be, Yankees manager Joe Girardi said. That's special. That is a lesson for all of us. Landis's day with the Yankees began during the team's pre-workout meeting. He signed his one-day deal with the help from ace CC Sabathia, who helped negotiate Landis's contract. Then he met the players and toured the clubhouse. And from there, it was on to the cage, where he took some cuts alongside A-Rod and Mark Teixeira. Quite a crowd to be working with, I would say. According to a story published on Yankees.com, Landis is able to bat with the aid of a special prosthetic that cups the bat. On the defensive end, a soccer shin guard is inserted in his glove. This setup is how he's able to play Little League baseball back home in Indiana. And by all accounts, everyone at the Yankees camp, from the players to the coaches to the front office, were moved by Landis's visit. The guys, I applaud them, Girardi said. They were great with him. He hit. He had lunch with us. He was part of the meeting in the beginning. He's a special kid. One player who really connected with Landis, though, was A-Rod Rodriguez. They hung out in the clubhouse and on the field and during batting practice, and at the end of the day, the superstar gave Landis a bat and signed it, quote, to a great teammate. So grateful that I got able to spend time with Landis Sims today, Rodriguez tweeted, a true inspiration. And I think we can all say that's an inspiration to us in whatever we do or want to do in our life. Let's next take a look at an article titled Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford Trade Breakdown. Comes from March 3rd, 2021 from the SIKids.com website. This blockbuster trade involving Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff is quite the tricky one. Jared Goff, 26, is a former number one pick, two-time pro bowler, and one-time first-team All-Pro player. Goff has a record of 3-3 in the postseason, including an appearance in the Super Bowl, 15? L111. I'm a little short today on my Roman numerals. Matthew Stafford, 32, is also a number one pick and a one-time pro bowler who has never made an all-pro team. Stafford is 0-3 in the postseason and has never even won his division yet. It is the Rams who are trading Goff at two additional first-round picks and a third-round pick in order to get Stafford. The weirdest part of it all, the Rams actually won the trade. 12 seasons after they drafted him, the Lions are moving on from Matthew Stafford. The Lions will now receive Jared Goff, a young quarterback who has experienced more postseason success. Through his 5 years with the Rams, though, Goff was a beneficiary of a loaded roster. The Rams rarely ever depended on Goff to go and win the game for them. When the Rams needed Goff the most, he failed to show up, as the team only scored 3 points in Super Bowl. Could it be 53? L3111. Okay. Throughout his time in L.A., Goff was not asked to take many risks with the football, as he mostly threw shorter passes and relied on his star receivers such as Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp to create yardage after catches. Goff's job will only become more difficult, as his supporting cast will be much worse in Detroit. Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones Jr., the Lions' top receivers, are free agents and likely to leave. The Lions did bring in a new head coach and general manager this offseason, so maybe this is the fresh start the organization needs to become competitive again. The 2021 draft class contains four quarterbacks likely to go inside the first 10 picks. The Lions, who pick at number 7, must decide whether they want to stick with Goff for the future or if they want to draft another quarterback to compete for the starting job. In addition to Goff, the Lions received 3 draft picks, 2 of them first-rounders. If the Rams end up falling short of expectations and turn in a losing season in 2022 or 2023, the Lions will become huge winners of this trade. However, judging by the Rams' current roster, these picks are likely to be in the mid to late 20s, where finding franchise players becomes exponentially difficult. And I'm going to go back to one thing. We were talking about a Super Bowl, and L111 is 53. So they were talking about Super Bowl 53. The article continues about the Rams' perspective. The Rams got a high-risk, high-reward end of the trade. Let's start with the reward. For over a decade now, Matthew Stafford has been one of the best pocket passers in the league. Stafford's success has come despite a terrible running game and only 3 1,000-yard receivers during his time in Detroit. Next season in L.A. will be Stafford's best in terms of the offensive weapons at his disposal, not to mention the number 2 ranked scoring defense the Rams boasted last year. Additionally, Stafford has been one of the most clutch quarterbacks in NFL history. Since entering the league in 2009, Stafford has 31 fourth-quarter comebacks, best in the league, and 38 game-winning drives, second best. Goff only had 8 game-winning drives in his 5 years as a quarterback for the Rams. With Stafford as his quarterback, Sean McVay's playbook will open up. The Rams finally have a quarterback they can trust in pressure situations, a luxury they have not had since Kurt Warner in 2001. However, the Rams are also taking a large risk by making this trade. In their 2019 deal for cornerback Jalen Ramsey, they traded their 2020 and 2021 first-round draft picks. Now they have traded their 2022 and 2023 first-round picks. While the practice of trading away multiple firsts has become more common, it can be very dangerous. Take the Houston Texans, for example. Before the 2019 season, the Texans traded away their 2020 and 2021 first-round picks to the Miami Dolphins in exchange for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. The Texans were betting that they would be competitive and those picks would not have as much value as the two players they were receiving. This past year, however, the Texans were riddled with injuries, poor front office management, and suspensions, leading to a 4-12 record worthy of the number 3 pick in the 2021 NFL draft. That extremely valuable selection will be made by the Dolphins, 10-6, in April. While that exact scenario may be a worst possible outcome for the Rams, it is still an example of the danger of this trade. In a league in which any team can be hit with injuries, suspensions, or even a pandemic in any given season, trading away future assets can be very dangerous. Although, if Matthew Stafford turns out to be the last piece of the Rams' Super Bowl puzzle, it'll be well worth it. Staying with SI Kids Online from March 17th of this year, an article titled Ready, Set, Gold inspires next generation of Olympians and Paralympians. Olympians are not extraordinary people. Olympians are ordinary people working towards extraordinary achievements. Olympians and Paralympians are born from all walks of life, all across the world. Yet the feats that they achieve make them seem almost superhuman. So what defines an Olympian? What allows one person to achieve what seems unachievable? Ready, Set, Gold, RSG, is a Southern California-based program led by Olympians and Paralympians to answer these questions for school children. Think of it in terms of grades. The A team is the best team. The B's are a good team, and the C is needs improvement, said Christy Cole, a silver medalist swimmer for USA in 2000 and an RSG mentor. And that was me. I was on the C team, she said. RSG is a program for community health, fitness, and social and emotional learning to promote healthy lifestyles for kids. The Olympic motto in Latin, Citius Altius Fortius, translates to swifter, higher, stronger. Not swiftest, highest, strongest, said five-time Olympic swimming medalist and chairman of RSG, John Neighbor. It's all about improvement, not victory. At the heart of RSG is the belief that anyone can be an Olympian as long as they learn to awaken the Olympic spirit within. While the curriculum includes lessons on goal setting, perseverance, and leadership, possibly the most important lesson RSG teaches is the concept of delayed gratification. Most people go to a restaurant, and they don't have to pay the bill until after dessert has been served, said Neighbor. But in sport, you've got to pay the price first and get the rewards later. Another RSG mentor, Samantha Bosco, let nothing get in the way of her dream. A Paralympic champion, Bosco was born with a bowed right tibia, that's the shin, as a young child, had to have that part of her leg removed. The different lengths of her legs did not stop her from riding bikes, and she quickly fell in love with cycling at a young age. At the height of her youth biking career, with dreams of someday becoming a professional mountain bike racer, Bosco experienced complications from a limb lengthening surgery, leaving her with years of crutches. As she faced more injuries while rowing for the University of Central Florida, she was forced to quit that sport in order to be able to walk again. Through all of this, Bosco emerged as a two-time track cycling bronze medalist at the 2016 Paralympic Games in Rio, Brazil. I try to use my life experiences with the students of RSG. Definitely, just knowing somebody has been through adversity helped me along the way, said Bosco. So for me to be able to share my story with kids and even adults, I feel like it helps because it's like, okay, we're not alone. These lessons and many more taught in RSG's in-class program that pairs participating schools with specific Olympians and Paralympians to inspire students to improve. In response to the needs of distance learning, RSG developed a free virtual program that gives students the opportunity to exercise with a talented Olympian or Paralympian in the safety of their home, while also learning the mindset required to achieve greatness. RSG organizers hope to expand a national reach in the future once it is safe to return to in-person activities. But for now, all lessons can be found online. Ready, set, gold. May or may not discover an Olympic champion, said Neighbor. But it will definitely enhance the lives of all the kids who get to hear the Olympians or Paralympians tell their story. The Olympic and Paralympic Games return to the U.S. in 2028 in Los Angeles. Bosco hopes to compete. Why Cole and Neighbor plan to do their part to support the athletes, said Neighbor. It's only fitting that those who were a part of the Olympic Games or Paralympic Games should be the ones preparing the next generation for their own gold medals. I really like that article. You know, it kind of reaches out to us and says that, okay, we've got a problem here. We do not have vision. How could we possibly do anything as an Olympian if we don't have vision, or as a Paralympian? Well, maybe checking into this RSG, Ready, Set, Gold program, one might find what they need to take their capabilities to the level of an Olympian or a Paralympian. We have a section in Sports Illustrated Kids for the new issue that has finally arrived for March and April. And it's called Freeze Frame. They're little short items, let you know what's going on in a particular sport. This one is titled Seventh Heaven. It happened February 7th, 2021 in Tampa, Florida. A new team, same result. After joining the Buccaneers in the offseason, Tom Brady, you remember him from the Patriots, led the Tampa Bay to a 31-9 win over the Chiefs in Super Bowl 55. Brady threw three touchdown passes and was named the game's MVP. It was the fifth time that Brady won the award and the seventh time that he has won the championship for the league. Pretty doggone amazing. Here's another freeze frame. It's called Snow, Big Deal. February 4th, 2021 at Mammoth Mountain, California. Less than a week after the biggest win of his career, Dusty Hendrickson was back on the mountain training. On January 31st, 2 days before he turned 18, Hendrickson won the snowboard slopestyle final at the X Games. becoming the first U.S. rider to win the event since Shaun White did it in 2009. When I was handed the medal, I was just so surprised, he said. It was crazy. And there's no doubt about it, that's quite a ride. I think it's time to find out about some sports figures and some statistics and things about them. Let's go with Devin Williams first. He is Milwaukee Brewers pitcher. Stands 6'2", weighs 200 pounds. He was born on September 21st, 1994, with a hometown of Hazelwood, Missouri. In his first full season in the majors, Williams went 4-1 with a 0.33 ERA, earning National League Rookie of the Year honors. He allowed just one earned run in 27 innings while striking out 53 batters. His best pitch is a changeup that has been known as the Airbender. Did you know Williams is the third Brewers player to be named Rookie of the Year? Ryan Braun won the NL Award in 2007, and Pat Listach won it in 1992 when Milwaukee was in the American League. And Adrian Del Castillo. He stands at 5'6", weighs 208 pounds, born September 27th in 1999, and his hometown is Miami, Florida. What about him? Well, he's a Miami Hurricanes catcher. Before the 2020 season was canceled, Del Castillo was hitting .358 with two homers and 15 RBIs in 16 games. The previous season, he was named a freshman All-American and knocked in 72 runs, the second most ever by a Hurricanes freshman. In 77 career games, Del Castillo has had more extra base hits, 39, than strikeouts, 32. And did you know that the Miami made the NCAA tournament 44 straight years, a record-setting streak that ended in 2017? Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated Kids. We hope that you have enjoyed it. I'm Dick Hayden, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and be sure to listen next time.